So tonight, we're going to speak about the first eyewitnesses of the resurrection. And if you're listening by way of internet, I encourage you to download the sermon notes attached to this message and follow along as we'll teach right into these notes. We'll be very thorough tonight. Now, the first eyewitnesses were comprised of at least five women, four of the names we know. One of those names is Mary Magdalene. She was the one that was delivered of seven devils. And then you had Mary. She was sister to the Virgin Mary, mother of James the Less, wife of Cleophas. She was there. We'll see this as we go along. The third one was Joanna. She was Herod's chief steward, Chuza. She was his wife, and she traveled with the Lord extensively. And then there was Salome, and she was mother of James and John. It was her son John that was killed by Herod. She was the wife of Zebedee. Remember when she came to the Lord and said, "Grant that my two sons sit on your right and on your left"? That was her. The Lord had a lot of people that traveled around with him. He had 70 disciples that traveled too. This wasn't the 12. And we always get the pictures, there's 12. He had a whole core of people that traveled with him, and they were with him all the time. And tonight, we're going to look specifically at these first eyewitnesses, and we'll begin in Mark chapter 16, verse 1. It said, "When Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome." So three of these ladies are mentioned here by Mark. He mentions three of these here in the first verse of Mark chapter 16. "They were there, and they brought sweet spices that might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning they came," and I'm going to drop down to verse 5, "and entering into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were frightened." This was an angel. As we get into Luke's testimony, he actually sees two of them. There were two of them there, but Luke knew there was two. Mark records one, but there were two angels there. Now notice what the angel said to him, verse 6, and said to them, "Be not affrighted, you seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified." And they weren't expecting him to be raised from the dead here. They were expecting to anoint his body and his burial, and they weren't expecting to find an empty tomb there. So they were quite astonished when they got there. And the angel gives them instruction in verse 7. He says, "Go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee, and there shall you see him." And they went out quickly. So this was their first visit. They come in, they go into the tomb, they look around, and there's an angel in there, and an angel gives them direction and tells them specifically, "Go to the disciples and tell them that he's risen from the dead." Now, this was not the Lord speaking to them at this point. This was an angel. Their first testimonies we're going to see to the disciples was the voice of an angel told us that he's been raised from the dead. He wasn't in the tomb. Now, we see that. Now, I want you to go to Luke chapter 24. Now, it's the exact same story, exact same situation. In verse 4, we'll see, "And it came to pass as they were much perplexed, because the body of the Lord was in the sepulcher, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments." These are two angels. Mark recorded one, Luke records two. "And they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth and said, why seek you the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. And in verse 7, the Son of Man must be delivered in the hands of men and crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words and returned from the sepulcher." This is huge. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and other women. So other women at least denotes two, at least. Could have been six. We know one of them was Salome, because we read she was there in Mark 16. We don't know who the other ones, but they were all women. And they get an encounter by the angels. And the angel tells them. And so what happens, they're with them, and their words, so they go and says, "Go to the apostles." So their first trip back to the apostles, their first trip, they go back. All they're going to say, "We saw an empty tomb and we saw angels." They were going on the word of angels. Those angels sent them to bear the testimony. That was the first testimony. They weren't done. They're going to get several testimonies. So they go into the apostles. Now notice what these mighty apostles do. And verse 11, so they go, and their words seem to them as idle tales. And they believe them not. They didn't believe them. Now, verse 12 is important. Because we see these four women return to these apostles, and they had not seen the Lord at this point. They went by the instruction of an angel. Now, why is that important? Well, I'll tell you in a minute. Now, they go give testimony, these five, at least five. They give testimony and say, we've seen him. Now, this stirs Peter up. Verse 12, Peter and John, actually, because the book of John tells us that John and Peter, they run. They run to the sepulcher, both of them. And right here, you see, after these ladies show up, they give the testimony of these angels that Peter and John get stirred up and they take off to the sepulcher. Now, we know these ladies had to follow them. They went back to the sepulcher. And Peter was leading the way. And John. I'd imagine they outran them. But now they all go back at this point. Now this is where it gets interesting. Let's go to John chapter 20. Now John only mentions Mary. He doesn't mention the other ladies there, though they're there. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, under the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and the other disciples whom Jesus loved. That's John. Don't you love the way he refers to himself? He writes, that's his book. He wrote it. And that disciple whom Jesus loved. That's how he referred himself through that whole book. He wrote a book so he could describe himself any way he wanted to. Peter, yeah, that Peter guy, and that disciple whom Jesus loved. I think he was rubbing it in a little bit. That wasn't the first time he said that. He said that several times in the book of John. So here again, we see that Mary goes, she gets this encounter, and she runs to disciples, not only her, but we saw before in Luke that all these other ladies are running. So these five go, and then we see again right here. Now notice her testimony at this point. This is very important. This verse 2 correlates with Luke 24, verse 10. Luke 24, 10, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women that were with them, which told these things to the apostles, they went. This is exactly what's happening in John, but John's only mentioning Mary at this point. But the other ladies are there. But I want you to notice what she says. And I guarantee at this point she has not seen the Lord. The first go-around. Verse 2, and she runs and comes to Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved and saith unto them, notice what she says. Now, let me ask you a question. Does this sound like someone who has just seen the Lord? They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulcher. And we don't know where he has been laid. Does that sound like somebody has seen the Lord? Nope. If you'll go over to Matthew chapter 28, next page of the notes. Look at verse 1. Same situation. This is Matthew's account. In the end of the Sabbath, it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary and the other ladies. They're all there. This is their first trip. And behold, there was a great earthquake, and the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it, and his countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. That was that same angel was sitting in there. There was actually two of them. And the fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said to the woman, "Fear you not, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. But he's not here, he's risen." The same, that is the same statement that the angels made in Mark and in Luke, same thing, right? So it's the same thing, it's their first visit. Verse 7, "Go quickly, tell his disciples that he's been risen from the dead, and behold, he'll go before you into Galilee, and there you shall see him, lo, I've told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word, and as they went to tell his disciples," this was the first trip, supposedly. Look what he says in verse 9, "Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by his feet and worshiped him." See, that's what I'm talking about right there. Matthew makes all that look like it's one trip, but it wasn't one trip. Because we've already seen that those ladies went, if you'll back up for a moment, right there it said they saw him on the way, like the first trip. But we already see those angels told those ladies, go and bear testimony. And they did, if you'll go back to Luke 24, verse 10. This was their first trip. Luke 24, verse 9. "And they returned from the sepulcher and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. And it was Mary, Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and the other women which were with him, and told these things. And their words seemed like idle tales." They were simply bearing witness of what the angel told them at that point. And Peter gets up and he runs, so we know he hadn't even gone to the sepulcher yet. It's the same account in John 20. John 20, verse 2. "And she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciples whom Jesus loved, and says, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulcher." John 20, verse 2. Now, does that sound like someone who just saw the Lord? No. Those angels sent them to bear the testimony. And here's how it plays. They go out, they bear the testimony. It sounds like it's old wives' tales, fables. We don't believe you. But when Peter and John, something stirred them, and even Cleopas said it. He said, "We were astonished by certain women of our testimony." Luke 24, when Cleopas gives testimony, he was one of the ones on the road of Emmaus that Jesus appeared to. But listen what he says. Luke 24, 22, "And certain women of our company made us astonished when we were early at the sepulcher, and when they found not his body, they came saying that they had seen visions of angels." See what they said? They came saying what? They seen visions of angels. They didn't come saying that they saw him yet. So we know they come to the sepulcher, they see angels. There's two of them there. They know, they give them words, they go back and tell the disciples he's alive, he's risen. They go and they give the testimony, and Peter and John run. We know that's happened. They take off running, and the women run with them. They come back to the tomb. They come back to the sepulcher at this point. Now it's time for the eyewitness to begin. Go back to Matthew 28. What Matthew does is he shifts a gear between verse 7 and 8. He doesn't tell you he shifted a gear. Do y'all follow what I'm saying? Because he makes it look like the ladies on their first trip back, that Jesus appears to them. But we know he didn't. He appears the second time. That's why you have to, when you are rightly dividing the word of the Lord, that's why I've made these notes for you to see it, that all four of those gospels tell one story. Now it's very important, because from the Lord's point of view, he was sending testimonies to his apostles. He could appear to them first, but he chose to appear to the women first. He chose that. You ought to give yourself a hand. Hallelujah. He might do that again. Praise the Lord. And so he sends two testimonies. The first testimony he sends by the mouth of an angel in an empty tomb. And they don't believe it. They said it's a wise tale. But Peter and John, it stoked their curiosity that we know Peter took off to the tomb. And John took off too. And the ladies followed. And we see that in Matthew's account. So between verse 7 and verse 8 are two different visitations to that tomb. Has to be. Because he says in Matthew 28, verse 7, go quickly and tell his disciples he's risen from the dead. We know they went. They come back. Now they're on their way back again. Verse 8. They're on their way back. Second time now. They've come with Peter and John. Go with me to John chapter 20, verse 1. Let's look at that for a minute, those three verses. Now, the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, and the sepulchre seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. And she runs and comes to Simon Peter and to the other disciples whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we don't know where they have laid him. Now, she's given that testimony, and those other ladies are given that testimony at that point. They don't know what happens. Now, notice what Peter does. Therefore, Peter went forth with his other disciples, and they ran to the sepulchre. Now, we know those ladies followed them. And the rest of that is played out at the bottom of that other page. Peter and John run. They check it out. Peter looks inside that tomb. They hang out there for a while. Verse 3, Peter, therefore, he went forth and that other disciple and came to that sepulchre. They're doing an inspection. Now, what happens, these ladies are arriving with them. This is when they're coming back now, and those ladies are there with them. Now, Peter looks in. Now, notice what he does in verse 10, John chapter 20, verse 10. Then the disciple went away again to his home. So Peter and John, they leave at this point. They saw the empty tomb, they leave, and Mary's still there, and those other ladies are around there somewhere. They're in that garden, around that tomb. And Mary goes and takes another peek. Now, she's weeping at this point. She's weeping and she's crying. Her heart's been broken. Here's the flow so far. They go to the tomb, they see the angels. Angel tells them to go bear witness. They go bear the witness. They reject the witness, but Peter and John go back to the tomb. They go back to the tomb. There they are at the tomb. Peter and John hang out a while. They look at it, and then they leave, and the ladies stay. Now, Mary's weeping, and she's there at the tomb weeping. This is where we're going to pick this up, because this is the first eyewitness to the early church. Verse 11, John 20. Now, she stood at that sepulchre. Peter had just left. Those other ladies around there, but they must not have been right next to her, because something's about to happen here. Now, the way the Lord appears to her is not like the way he appeared to Paul with a bright shining light and just blew him off a saddle. She didn't even know who he was at first. It had to be a very personal thing. She didn't even know until he spoke and said, Mary. And she recognized that voice. Let's look at the whole account here. And Mary stood without the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre. Aren't you glad you take another look? Sometimes you take a look and nothing's there. And then sometimes you take another look and then something's there. Her first look, she saw an angel. Her second look, there's another angel. It's the second angel now in this room. The first time they were there, the angel spoke to him. And Peter, there's no account that that angel was there when Peter comes and shows up. God was going to have them hear the word of these ladies. That was the way he was setting it up. They were going to be the first witnesses, and those apostles were supposed to believe their witness, and they didn't do it. And he ended up upbraiding them for their unbelief. He rebuked them. So, you know, Peter and John were looking up in there, and there wasn't that angel wasn't there. So they leave. Mary's there weeping at that sepulchre, and she looks inside again, and there comes another angel. How does it happen like that? I mean, probably 5-10 minutes before, Peter's looking up in there, and he didn't see nothing. Because God was establishing that testimony. She's about to see him. And she seeth two angels in white. Peter was just there. He didn't see that. John didn't see it. As soon as they left, that angel reappeared. Second time she sees an angel in that tomb. And the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus is laid. And they said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? The body of my Lord's been taken away. I don't know where he is. Look at verse 14. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back. And she saw Jesus standing and did not know it was him. Now these other ladies are around there somewhere. But they're not right there at that door. Sometimes you just got to be positioned. She's there at the right moment. She turns back and she supposed she sees the gardener at first. She doesn't know it's him. And Jesus said unto the woman, why weepest thou? And she supposing him to be a gardener said unto him, sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where you've laid him. I mean, she was panting. She was desperate. She wanted to know. That's another reason why she saw him first. The other ones were sitting up in unbelief. And she was there looking for him. See, the ones are going to see him, the ones looking for him. We got to look. I'll tell you where he's seated, the right hand of God. Hallelujah. That'd be a good place to look. Amen. And he turned to her and said, Mary. Boy, when he said that, he said, Mary, and she knew it. She turned around. She said, Rabbi, she knew it was him. He said, touch me not. And notice what he says to her. The very first words of a resurrected Savior. She's seeing him. Eyewitness in a resurrected state. Verse 17, John 20. Jesus said unto her, touch me not. I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Notice what he says. Go and tell them, I ascend. Not only is he my Father now, he's now your Father. I made a way where there was no way. That's the first message they were going to hear from him. God is now your Father. You sit as a joint heir with Christ now. Powerful. That was his first testimony to him. An eyewitness. And what's he do? He sends her right back to the ones that just rejected her. The angel sent them. They rejected him. They come back. You know why they probably didn't see him? Because they rejected that first testimony. That's when Peter and John come up in there and look for themselves. We don't see anything. They left. Because they said angels were in that tomb. Remember, that's what they said. Cleopas said certain women made us astonished. Said some angels told them that Christ had been resurrected. Peter and John said, we have to go see this for ourselves. I don't know if they received or didn't receive it at that point. They went in there, took a look around, but left. Then that angel showed back up. She turns around and there's the Lord. She sees him. First person to see him, a woman, had seven devils cast out of her. First person to see him. He tells her, go tell him. Just as he is my Father, he's your Father. I did it. What an honor. She's going to go back for a second round. And on the way back, those women were around that garden somewhere because they were there. We know they were there because they're going to go on the way back. They're going to return again because they were there the first time. And nobody said nothing about seeing him the first time around. And so those ladies are somewhere in that garden. And this was such a personal thing that he was having an impersonal encounter. She didn't even know it was him until he spoke to her. That those ladies that were in that vicinity didn't even know it. Salome, Joanna, Mary, her sister Mary, sister of the Virgin Mary. And so, you know, Mary's going like this. Her heart, you know, she's ready to go. She gathers them. She no doubt probably tells them, I just saw the Lord. That guy was speaking to him. That was him. Now they're on their way back now. She goes, we got to go tell them. And on their way back, the Lord appears to all of them. I don't know how many are there. We know there are at least five. Five at one time. Let me tell you something about the apostolic eyewitness. It's not a singular eyewitness that sets one person up. It's not like that. It's a corporate eyewitness. Because God, when he establishes that, he establishes it across the board corporately. Red, yellow, black, brown, white, male, female, all of it. He was establishing that corporate eyewitness. And so those five are on the way back and they see him. Matthew 28, verse 5. And the angel answered and said unto women, fear you not, for I know that you seek Jesus crucified. He is not here. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. Now that was the first trip. So they go and do that. They come back with Peter and John. Now verse 8. Or you can say verse 9. I don't know which particular verse it is, but it's either verse 7 or 8 or 8 or 9. It was talking about that second trip. Because they already went the first time. You remember they were with Mary when she gave that testimony to him the first time. It says, our Lord's taken away. I don't know where you laid him. They all of them were there with her. We don't know. Those ladies had not seen him at that point. But now, on their second time back, they definitely are going to see him. And as they went, verse 9, to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. They were all at his feet, all five of them, at least five. So not only does Mary come back with testimony, all five of them come back with testimony, and they all come back and tell the apostles a second time now. This time they've got a different message. The first time the angel sent us. The second time we have seen him. We have seen him. Second appearance of the Lord. They didn't believe it. They didn't believe it the first time. Didn't believe it the second time. Didn't believe it the third time when two from the road of Emmaus came in. Cleophas and the other person came in there. And while they were giving their testimony, the Lord walks into the room, starts upbraiding them for their unbelief. If you go to Mark 16, verse 9, and this confirms this. This is the second trip, by the way. And when Jesus was risen early in the day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene. We saw that. Out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them, this is the second trip, they had been with him. And they mourn and wept, and they, this is when they come back the second time, and she's not alone. These other five ladies come back and said, we've seen them too, because we just saw, they saw them. In verse 11, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, notice that, they heard that he was alive and been seen of her. Remember the first trip? She didn't come and say that. She didn't come and say that. She comes and says, where is my Lord? I don't know where they've laid him. Help. But this time she's got another testimony. I've seen him. And when they've heard that she was alive and been seen of her, Mark 16, 11, believed not. Say, believed not. First two testimonies the Lord gave to the apostles, gave them to the ladies to give to the apostles, and they didn't believe it. Didn't believe the third one either. They didn't believe it until he stepped in the room himself. But I'm pretty amazed. The first eyewitness testimony was to the women. They were the first evangelists. The first eyewitnesses of the resurrection. And he went on to establish that over 40 days to begin to establish that resurrection. And it grew. 1 Corinthians 15 says he appeared unto 500 people at one time. He was preparing the whole apostolic church. So here's how it played out. They come to the tomb. They go in there. They see that angel. They see two angels. And tells them, you go and tell them that he's risen. So they go back to where the apostles were. They tell them by the voice of an angel. Mary comes and says, I don't know where he laid him. They didn't believe it. They said they old wives' tales. And so Peter and John run to see for themselves. They take a look around. The women follow them. They don't see him. They leave. Mary sits there weeping at the tomb, and there's another angel that appears. She turns around and then sees the Lord. That's how it played out. And then she gets the other ladies that were in that vicinity, and they're on their way back, and then he appears to all of them, and they worship him at his feet. And then every one of those ladies come and bear that testimony to the apostles. That's the first eyewitnesses to the church. Ladies, you ought to give yourself a hand. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord forever. Now, laws of meditation. You can't just read one thing. Matthew, just like Matthew, that'll mess you up. You have to take all those accounts, put them all together. Amen. I believe the Lord's going to do something very remarkable in these coming days. He's going to restore this office in fullness. He's not going to ask us to do something that they did without giving us everything that they had. And if it was their message to bear witness of the resurrection, how much more is it going to be the final church's message to bear the witness to the world? Because the world right now, it's getting pretty dark out there. The church is not getting it done. It's because there's a missing element. When these elements come together, it's going to release the Holy Ghost to confirm, see, because he's coming with testimony too. He's coming with signs, miracles, wonders, and power that's presently not fully resting upon the church, especially in America, where it's desperately needed. This is all going to be restored, and it's going to be a corporate eyewitness, not going to be an individual eyewitness. God's going to do it corporately, and when he does that, he's going to establish that corporate government, and the Holy Spirit is going to release in a brand new way. I believe with all my heart it's one of the major missing elements to what everybody's looking for right now. Everybody wants to see the power. They want to see the glory of God come down over cities. This office in its full restoration is going to usher these things in again. These foundations are laid for a specific purpose. These witnesses were given for a specific purpose. And Father, we thank you for the restoration of that corporate eyewitness. To see him whom our soul loveth. To have the authenticity of eyewitness testimony, which every single apostle in the early church had. I thank you for its restoration. I thank you for corporate restoration and corporate government and the confirming power of the Holy Spirit as we bear witness that our God has been raised from the dead, Christ. I thank you for the restoration. We just give you glory. We give you glory. We give you glory. I hear the Holy Spirit saying there's some in the church that don't even look anymore. They're just content in building according to the things of man. But the ones that are looking, says the Spirit of grace, the answers are coming and have always been there. They've always been deeply embedded into the word of the living God. The answers to unlock the things of heaven, says the Spirit of grace, is upon this generation. Your eyes will see, your ears will hear, says the Spirit of the Lord. For you are a chosen people unto me. chosen people. I will grant witness in this place, says the Spirit of the Lord, and I'll grant witness across the world. For my church will rise and do exploits, says the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. There are apostles right now, legitimate apostles. I mean, calling, separated, set apart. They may not have seen the Lord yet, but they are legitimate apostles. Just like he called his disciples apostles, he called them apostles before he ever died, buried, and was resurrected. He named them apostles. But because God is restoring everything in reverse, I believe that every legitimate apostle in the earth is going to be granted this before it's over. And not only them, that whole government around them. I'm telling you, this is a master key. A master key. And it takes a whole lot of weight off our shoulder to think that we have to do the job of the Holy Ghost. He is well able to supply the power coming out of the right hand of God. That is what he's been commissioned. He's commissioned to bear witness too. You know that. He's been commissioned to bear testimony. You shall bear witness, says the Lord. He says, and the Holy Spirit shall also. He said, he'll bear testimony and you also. Two-way thing. We cannot build without him. We can't do it. Not the way God wants to do it. We can build nice places and have big organizations, but you cannot change fundamentally darkness that's been set into cities. You cannot root that like that. There'll be a witness in each city, but to fundamentally change the whole foundation of a city and turn it to light like the apostles did of old. To do that, we will require the person of the Holy Ghost. You can't be done with all of our things that we do. And we're real good at that, you know. But for him to do that, we have to find the pattern and locate it the way he did it in the early church. He said, you should see power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, but it doesn't stop there. And you shall be my witnesses. That part has to be restored. I don't see any other way around. I'm getting bolder and bolder about it. Without it, we don't have what they had. We just don't have the Holy Ghost, but we do not have what they had. There is a fundamental ingredient that the whole early church had and the foundation that church had that we don't have. I'm not talking about us. I'm talking about the church at large. The apostolic order. It's not even preached. Not even looked for at this point. But it's going to happen. I know the first person was looking for him. That was a key. Mary was looking for him. She was weeping at the tomb. I don't know about you, but I'm looking for him. Amen. You're not just saying a testimony of faith. Right now we go witness by faith. You understand that? And that's what we're supposed to do. We witness by faith. But then when you have the eyewitness and the Holy Spirit stands next to you, you preach the gospel of the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. That's a difference. Not am I preaching to you of this man, but he's been raised from the dead. And I have seen him. And they'll say, you are crazy. And then you can do it just like the Lord. It wasn't any different in his message. He goes, I come from the Father. I've seen him, but none of you have seen him, but I've seen him because I've been sent from him. And he says, if you cannot believe what I say to you that I've been sent from him, then believe the works, for they will testify of me. Here's how you're going to come back at it. When you come and preach, you go in with three witnesses in the mouth of two or three. It's your personal eyewitness or that apostolic. When that apostolic gets released, the whole company of the apostolic gets in that government. They release that witness. You understand that? It's not a one man thing. When that corporate eyewitness is released, it's through the apostolic. When it does, they preach the word of the living God. That's the second witness because those words came out of the mouth of Christ. Then the third witness is the Holy Spirit. You can come and say, if you don't believe what I say to you, this is what's going to change it. Then I have somebody that stands next to me that will back up what I'm saying. Because it wasn't my job to convince you. It was my job to bear the testimony. He's the convincer, Carlos. He, the Holy Ghost. He's going to supply power and do things that man cannot do, like raise the dead in front of people. That's the way we'll preach the gospel. If you cannot believe what we say, even in our eyewitness, then believe the Holy Ghost, believe the works, because he'll testify right alongside of us. And it's a judicial issue. It's a judicial issue. Do you understand what I mean by judicial issue? The world's a courtroom. The world system is controlled by principalities and powers. The devil has a legal lease on the world, and he's the god of this world system. You're entering into his courtroom. He has a legal lease. Those people are bound, and they were born under spiritual death. The world, whole nations, he has a legal lease on that. So we come into his courtroom bearing testimony. And the Holy Ghost enters in that courtroom bearing testimony. Was this the only thing he's going to anoint? Absolutely not. This is a very important part. He anoints signs for the believer. He'll anoint offices, administrations, and gifts. For each office, he'll anoint them. Otherwise, none of us would have been saved. What I'm saying is when the apostolic eyewitness gets restored, he comes in a whole brand new way now, because now he's personally bearing witness of that resurrection alongside of you. And it's his job to show up in front of everybody with a power that's not of this world. The stuff everybody's looking for. It all kind of works together. If we find the way they did it and then ask God for what they had and start doing it the way they did it, we're going to see those results. We're going to see it. It won't be a one-man thing, not under corporate eyewitness. Amen.